for those of you who need it. I have some words of comfort for those who know God. An old preacher said one time, long time ago, he said, the Lord God got up early one morning and he gazed upon his only begotten Son for some time. Altogether lovely, perfect in every way. And he determined right on the spot to make a multitude of sinners just like his only begotten Son. And that's what this world's all about. He is right now bringing many sons unto glory. Those who are predestinated from before the foundation of the world to be made just like his only begotten Son. And what I want to talk to you tonight about is the fact that some of us here have the liberty, the authority, to call the God of the universe our Father. Our Father. Matthew chapter 6, talking about prayer, says in verse 5, when you pray, Christ is speaking, our Mediator, our Savior, our King. Says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are. Oh, they love to pray, standing in the synagogue, standing on the corner of the street so everybody can see them, that they may be seen of men. Now, there are people like that, love to pray, to be seen and heard of men. And when they prayed, that's it, period. They have their reward. They prayed and men heard them. They prayed and men saw them. They prayed and men applauded them. That's it. That's their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, as they did back on Mount Carmel. For they think they shall be heard because they said a lot of words. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, our Heavenly Father, we have, some of us, the right, the authority to call Him our Heavenly Father. He owns us as His children. It said, your Father knows everything you have need of before you ever open your mouth, before you ever utter a word. That's the kind of Father we have. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, this is a good, well-rounded prayer, model, pattern, given by the Lord Jesus Himself. Our Father. Those great words, our Father, which art in heaven. And the first thing out of your mouth after that is, holy, holy, holy be your name. Hallowed, sacred, set apart, revered. Holy be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from temptation and evil. For thine We're not praying to a God who doesn't have any ability. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now let's just stop there. And I just want to make a few statements from the Scripture tonight. And if you can believe in your heart, it'll be comfort to you. If you're a Christian, you need comfort. And if you can believe, it'll be comfort to you. The word Father as attributed to God is used in different ways in the Scriptures. First of all, in Acts 17, it's used as all men being the offspring of God. You're all, Paul said, the offspring of God. You heathen poets knew that. They wrote poetry about it. All of us being the offspring of God. All of Adam's race. And then it says, we're conceived in the mind of God before time, brought forth in this world in the fullness of time, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and also Galatians 1:15. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, that's of the Lord, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, I began to preach. So we're all the offspring of God. In a very special and unique sense, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, Ephesians 1:3, John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the eternal and only begotten Son of God. Only begotten Son of God. And then the Bible talks about God being a Father of mercies. Father of mercy. You ever need mercy? That's where to find it. That's where it comes from. True mercy. True mercy. And then that's 2 Corinthians 1:3. And then it says, God is the Father of all His children, all saints, all believers, through adoption. He adopted them. Predestinated their adoption of children unto children before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 and Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:6. Then we have this wonderful statement concerning these children, these saints of God, these who are predestinated unto the adoption of children, those whom God had determined to make just like His Son. We have this statement, behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What love that He should make us His sons. And at what price? He had to give His only begotten Son to make us sons. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. By the first birth into this world, we are sin and born into sin and death. By the last birth, the second birth, the new birth, we're life and righteousness and peace. Born of God. Born of God. Children of the eternal, omnipotent, unchangeable God of the Bible. We're His children. Born of God. Born of God. Through the Word. Now let's look at just a few minutes. And He's not ashamed to call us His children. He said, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. Put my law in their minds and their hearts. They won't follow anybody else. I'll be their God. Now, let us look at the natural father and the spiritual father for a few minutes tonight. I had a good father. He did the very best that he knew how, I think, raising his children. And I tried to, but the old Puritans use a word, we just lacked the furniture. We didn't have enough furniture. We didn't have enough smarts. Don't have very much sense. We're not too smart. Make a lot of mistakes. Run out of resources. We're short of resources on every hand, as far as being fathers or anything else is concerned. But the first thing that's parallel between these two is natural father gives life to his children. They're born of that father, conceived by that father. And the heavenly father is likewise. He gives life to his children. On purpose, individually, he gives them life. They're begotten of him. James 1:18, of his own will. God's sovereign will and purpose. He begat he us. Begat he us through the word of his own will. 1 Peter 1:21, I believe it is, being born. We being born. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born of God. Born of God. And the Bible says Christ came into this world. He made the world, came into the world. The world didn't know him. He came to his own people. They received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Which were born. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. His own sovereign will begat he us with the word of truth. As the Father raiseth the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. We're born of God. And Nicodemus, don't question your head about this. It's too much for you to understand. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof. You can't tell where it started and where it stops. Even so is everyone who is born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above. We're born of God. Born of God. Amazing. Born again, born of God, made partakers of His nature. We're born into this world the first time. We have the nature of our Father. We're born again. We have the nature of our Father, Almighty God. Divine nature. Then we know this, that unless there's some kind of... Well, I won't even think about that. But a father loves his children naturally. Naturally love their children. Some way or the other they do. And none of them love their children like the Heavenly Father loves his children. How's that verse go in Romans 8:32? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up to become a man, to suffer the contradiction of sinners against himself all the days of his life, to bear our sin in his own body on the tree, and consequently to bear the curse of God, the judgment of God. God loved us that much. He spared him not, but delivered him up for us. Delivered him up for us. And then the Bible has terms like in Hosea, God said, I love them freely. There was no cause in us to cause God to love us. We were totally, completely, entirely unlovable. We're contrary to everything God is. And yet He set His love upon us somehow or the other in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I love them freely. He said, I've loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness, I drew them to myself. Everlasting love. John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave His Son. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Human fathers love their children, but nothing like God loved His children, loves His children. And a father does his best to clothe his children. Clothe his children. You know, things have changed so much, as I was talking about this morning. When I was going to school, we tried to find Levi's that weren't faded and had patches on them and holes in them. And now they take new Levi's and make patches and holes in them and fade them on purpose. On purpose. But we were well clothed. Always had clean clothes. Always neat. Always neat. But the Father. Look with me at Isaiah 61 just a moment. Isaiah 61. This is amazing. Isaiah 61 verse 10, the prophet Isaiah says, I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, because He hath clothed me, dressed me up to stand before God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, His own robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. God hath clothed us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, of God, Christ, of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything we need for time and eternity, God has given us in Christ. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in God. Not in himself, not in a preacher, not in a church, in God. Of God are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us all these things. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, fully clothed and clothed so well. We are clothed so well in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible says in 1 John, as He is, so are we in this world. That's how we stand before God, in His righteousness, in His garment of salvation, in His garment of salvation. A father clothes his children, even so the Heavenly Father clothes His children. And then a father provides food for his children, and the Heavenly Father will do no less. He feeds his children. He feeds them. The Heavenly Father provides food and nourishment for each and every one of his children. And Christ is that food. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has life and never die. Never die. Never die. Christ is the bread of life. Christ is the water of life. Christ is the true manna which came down from heaven, John chapter 6. And all of God's people feast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father feeds them. Now listen to this. A father protects his children in this world. I did mine as well as I could. Nobody picked on them, run over them, stomped on them without doing it to me first. I think that's a father's responsibility to take up his children. And I tried to. But the Heavenly Father has a hedge around each one of his children. And Satan himself can't get across that hedge unless God lets it down. What a father we have. We worry far too much, don't we? Because we believe far too little. That's the problem. Christ prays for his children. He said, I pray that their faith fail not. And therefore, Peter said, we're kept by the power of God through faith. And then he says, I pray that, the Savior said, I pray that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I want them where I am. I want them with me. One day they will be. Of course, his prayers are always answered. And then the Bible says, teaches fathers to teach their children. Israel, we have that over and over and over. We know that the Father, the Heavenly Father, teaches his children. Isaiah 54, John chapter 6, 45, they shall all be taught of God. They shall all be taught of God. Every man that hath heard, therefore, and learned of the Father, come to run into the Lord Jesus Christ. Taught of God. Drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Taught and drawn. Drawn and taught. Taught and drawn. Now, Father also not only teaches his children, but a father is tender and compassionate. Turn to Psalm 103 just a moment. As an earthly father has compassion upon his children, remembering, if he's wise, that he himself was a child once. Then it says here in verse 10 of Psalm 103, God hath not dealt with us after our sins, thank God for that, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward his children. How great? How high is the heaven above the earth? Immeasurable. Infinite. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sins and the judgment of our sins from us, and judged and condemned his only begotten Son to set us free. Here's the explanation part of it. Like as a father pitieth his children. And boy, we do. When they're so little, we don't understand what the problem is. And they cry and they hurt and they can't tell us where. Our hearts just pour out. We pity them. Love them. Want to help them. And like as an earthly father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that are his children, those that fear him. For he knows our frame. Thank God he don't ever forget. He remembereth that we're just dust. Just a speck of sinful dust. From the dust we came, and to the dust we return. And all the while in between, we're just a speck of living, dying, sinful dust. And God remembers our weaknesses. He remembers our frame. Look at the book of Hebrews just a moment, chapter 2. He knows what we need before we ever ask him. Verses 14 through 18, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, Deliver them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, like us, sin excepted, but in all other things, that he might be a merciful. He was one of us. He became one of us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to comfort those that are tempted. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have sometimes it might be true as far as people in this world are concerned. Like somebody, sometimes just nobody understands what I'm trying to say or express or whatever. Maybe they don't. But he does. Always. Listen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we. Yet he never sinned, but he was tempted. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And let us therefore, because he understands, because he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, because he knows what it is to be tempted, let us therefore come boldly. And that word boldly simply means freely. Freely. You don't have to make preparation to come. Come freely. You don't have to work yourself up to come. Come freely. Just as you are. Because you're receiving from Him, not based on you, but it's based on Him. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Every time of need. I want to show you one other place. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 just a moment. I preached on this not too long ago here, I think. Verse 5, 2 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger men and women, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now look at this next verse. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty, 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 almighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. The thought doesn't say that, stop there, but it goes on. Casting. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Casting all your cares upon Him. Because He cares for each and every one of you. Wonderful. There's nothing that concerns us that doesn't concern Him. There have been times when we couldn't help our children because our furniture was short and our resources were short. But the whole universe is at His disposal to help us in whatever way we need. All the universe. Everything. I'm talking about the God is our Father who spoke this world into existence out of nothing. What a God. Nextly, a father does good for his children, as well as he's able. And the Heavenly Father is infinitely able. Infinitely able. He has boundless ability, infinite power. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, He is able to do it, and He does it. To make all things work together for good to them that love Him. To them who are called according to His purpose. He's able. He's willing. He does it. He does it. All things work together for good to them that love Him. To them who are called according to His purpose. Everything, one day we'll see it clearly. Everything that transpires in this world is subservient to God's eternal purpose of saving His elect. Serves that purpose. And God's in charge. God's in charge. And you know, the Bible says it too, but the world teaches us that sometimes fathers leave inheritance for their children. Best they can, the best they have, leave an inheritance. But the Apostle Peter said God had left us an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and never fades away. Never gets old. We never get tired of it. Never fades away. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God unto salvation. At the best, an inheritance in this world is temporary. But spiritually speaking, it may be a curse instead of a blessing. But what God gives us is always a blessing instead of a curse. The Heavenly Father lives to give His children this world. Lives to give His children this world. That's what was promised to Abraham a long time ago. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Romans 4. God promised him the world. And he spent his days, his heart set on things above, looking for a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for land and empires down here. Looking for a city in glory. The Lord has promised us this world and shall give it to His children with all sin removed from the world, wherein dwelleth righteousness only. And no sin in us either. That's all gone too. That's all gone too. It is, as I said, incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away. Never loses its splendor. All of these things men and women have if they have Christ. God is their Father. If they have Christ. And all of these things are true. If they have Christ. They can address Almighty God as our Father. Let me read you a few verses that just came to mind. Romans 8, just a moment. Turn to Romans 8, we'll close. Verse 14, I'm going to read several verses. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're the children of God, we're the heirs of God. joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with Christ. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is written by the Apostle Paul, who suffered more than any of the other apostles, suffered more than any individual I know of, unless it's except Christ himself. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, all the creatures in the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies, when we'll be completely and totally and forever saved. The changing, the glorification of our bodies, for we're saved by hope. Saved by hope. But hope that's seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we patiently wait for it. Patiently wait for it. Patiently wait for it. I tell you a story that I've told here before, probably been several months ago. Years ago, when times were harder than they are now down in Birmingham, there was a black woman that washed the white folks' clothes, and she'd go back and forth through town picking them up and take them and wash them and press them and then carry them back, always coming back and forth through town. Always happy, always smiling, always whistling or singing or something. Old white man stopped her one time and asked her, said, I'd like to know something. How in the world you don't have anything working for other people? How in the world do you manage to stay so cheerful? She said, look up above you, look all around you. Said, it all belongs to my Father. It's all mine. Said, you white folks just pay taxes on it. It's mine. Okay, you're dismissed.